This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
دع الأيام تفعل ما تشاء وطب نفسا إذا حكم القضاء ولا تجزع لحادثة الليالي فما لحوادث الدنيا بقاء.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one, the unique, who revealed to us the Quran to recite, the one who taught Adam to speak and blessed us to read from pens that write. عَلَّمَ Adam وَعَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمْ عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ. He made this world a temporary world of trials, actions, and examinations. And He made the hereafter the world of chastisement and everlasting blessed stations. We seek His help for every blessing and each of our needs. And we seek His forgiveness for our shortcomings and evil deeds. He alone is worthy of our worship and ultimate veneration. The one who says, "Kun fayakun," His decree is His deliberation. And may salat and salam be upon the one who has promised al-maqam al-mahmood, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who perfected Allah's worship and servitude. To proceed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran in Surah Ibrahim, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Your Lord announced to all of mankind from the beginning of the creation, if you are thankful to me, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ, I shall give you even more. وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ, but if you are ungrateful. The meaning of kufr here is not just to reject Allah. That is the worst type of kufr. The meaning of kufr here is the opposite of shukr. The meaning of kufr here is to not thank Allah, to not appreciate the blessings of Allah, to take the blessings for granted, to deny the one who gave the blessings, or the worst type of kufr, to even deny his existence. All of this comes under kafartum. Wala in kafartum. If you show kufr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in a factual manner, inna azabi lashadid. You should know that my punishment is indeed very severe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that He never sends down calamities or punishments without a purpose. We read the stories of the previous nations in the Quran. We read the stories of Ad and Thamud, and we think that these are past incidents, that there's nothing for us, it will never happen again. But the fact of the matter is that we are seeing the same qudra as a response to the same arrogance that Ad and Thamud displayed. Both of those ancient civilizations, they felt a sense of arrogance. In fact, they achieved the pinnacles of their respective civilizations. They have left architectural remains that we still marvel at. They are world heritage sites. We go there and we are astounded 3,000, 4,000 years later, and we still do not understand how they constructed those magnificent chambers inside of the mountains. We still don't fully understand how they carved their houses within the mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them in the Quran. فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. As for Ad, they were arrogant on earth without any cause. Man has never the cause to be arrogant. What right does man have to be arrogant? فَأَمَّا عَادٌ فَاسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَقَالُوا مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةٌ. They boasted. They boasted to the rest of the creation and in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they said, who is more powerful than us? Who has achieved a higher level of civilization than us? It is as if, deja vu, we are repeating the same arrogance. It is as if, even if our tongues did not utter it, but so many of our hearts felt it, that we have reached the pinnacle of civilization. We have gone to the moon and come back. We have achieved the pinnacles of every scientific achievement possible. We have split up the atom. We have done this, we have done that. مَنْ أَشَدُّ مِنَّا قُوَّةً. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ الَّذِي خَلَقَهُمْ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مِنْهُمْ قُوَّةً. Don't they realize that Allah who created them is more powerful than them? Don't they realize that the one who created life and the one who created them is more powerful than them? وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَجَحَدُونَ. And they would neglect, they would deny our clear miracles. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He sent His own creation against them. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا. We sent upon them a wind that was powerful and screaming. The wind. Who can imagine the wind can be a punishment? Who can imagine that the wind blowing, which is a gentle breeze, we consider it to be a blessing from Allah when it is done properly. But the very nature that they ignored, the very creation of Allah that they did not learn a sign from, the very creation that they became arrogant against, Allah used that very creation. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا صَرْصَرًا فِي أَيَّامٍ نَحِسَاتٍ. We sent upon them a screaming wind for a few miserable days, for a period of time, a few miserable days, so that we can cause them to taste the punishment of this life and let them know, وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَخْزَى. The punishment of the next life is much more shameful, much more worse, and no one will help them against that punishment. وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ. As for Thamud, we caused them to be guided. We showed them the signs. We gave them the clear signs. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. But they didn't want the guidance. They refused to accept the guidance. And they preferred blindness over their own guidance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent upon them the thunderbolt from the heavens. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. The both of these nations, they had the sin of arrogance, the sin of pride, the sin of hard-heartedness, and that is the greatest sin, the sin of arrogance. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps on reminding us, O mankind, do not be arrogant against Allah. O mankind, humble yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Do those people who commit sins, do those people who murder others, who are invading other lands, do those people who are causing fitna and fasad on this earth, do those people who are shedding innocent blood, do those people who gather together thinking they're all rich and powerful, invading other lands, taking advantage of the weak, do they not realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to cause this earth to swallow them up? Or that Allah has the power to cause a punishment to come from a source that they would never expect from? Listen to the Quran. Read the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah explicitly says, those arrogant people that are causing fitna and fasad, do they not realize that Allah has the power to take them min haythu la yash'urun, from a source they never thought of, from a place they never considered? Allah azza wa jalla says, do you feel safe? Do you feel safe from my power that I can take you from any source? And Allah then says, أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ. Or Allah can take them even as they're going about their daily chores. Allah can bring all of those chores to a stop. All of their bustle and hustle, all of their activity, it can come dead in an instant if Allah wants. And Allah has shown that power. فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. They have no power to stop Allah's command when it comes down. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَى تَخَوُّفٍ. Or Allah can take them when they are in a state of perpetual fear. Or Allah can take them when they're in a state of perpetual khawf. But then Allah reminds us, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. But Allah is gentle and Allah is merciful. Allah is not going to do that as long as there is hope. Only when the hope is gone will the punishment of this world come, so that insha'Allah ta'ala they can save themselves from the punishment of the next world. Indeed, Allah reminds us of His power in the Quran in so many verses. In that famous verse in Surah Al-An'am, that when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam read this verse, even he trembled, even he raised his hands up to Allah and sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he read this verse, he himself trembled. And the verse states, قُلْ هُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابًا مِّن فَوْقِكُمْ. Say, Allah is the one who is all powerful to send you an azab from anywhere above you, أو من تحت أرجلكم, or from anything underneath you. Allah can send punishment from anywhere. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited this verse, and he paused at فوقكم, and he said, I seek refuge in Allah, in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he recited, أو من تحت أرجلكم, and he said, I seek refuge in the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last phrase was, أَوْ يُذِيقَ بَعْضَكُمْ بَأْسَ بَعْضٍ, or he can cause some of you to go to war with others, and you can then feel the punishment through civil war. And our Prophet ﷺ said, that is easier to deal with. Subhanallah, civil war is easier to deal with than the direct azab that comes from sources we do not understand. The war that we see between peoples, we can see the enemy, we can fight the enemy. And our Prophet ﷺ said, that is easier. But the war we cannot see, the azab that is beyond our understanding and comprehension, that is the azab we have no protection whatsoever except to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why even our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, A'udhu bi wajhik, I seek refuge in your wajh, O Allah, from anything of that nature happening. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, He has the power to take us, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, and they have no preparedness, no concept that is going to come. And this is exactly what we see around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that there is always a higher purpose, there is always a wisdom for any punishment coming. Dear Muslims, if we are not going to wake up in this current calamity, then when will we wake up? Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا, we only send our signs down so that we cause them to have reverence, we cause them to fear our punishment. Allah does not reveal the punishment in this world except that there's always a mechanism to save ourselves from the punishment of the hereafter. The purpose of any communal calamity in this dunya is to protect ourselves from the individual calamity on the Day of Judgment. وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا, we only send our signs down in order that they achieve a level of fear, instill reverence in their hearts, that they become scared of the punishment of Allah and hence return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous student of Ibn Abbas, Qatada, he said, talking about this verse, he said, Allah tests people however He wants, and He brings fear in this world so that they can reflect and be reminded and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tests people however He wants, and He causes them to be scared in this dunya, and the purpose is to avoid the fear of the hereafter. The purpose is to reflect and to be reminded, and hence return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once in the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu anhu, there was an earthquake, a zelzala that happened in Kufa, and Ibn Mas'ud was present over there, and Ibn Mas'ud recited this verse, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. And then Ibn Mas'ud stood up and he spoke to the people after the earthquake, and he said, O mankind, this is a warning from Allah, so pay heed to the warning. O mankind, this is a warning. It's a first warning. It's a first sign. So pay heed to that warning. Al-Hasan al-Basri recited this verse, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. And he said, what greater takhweef is there? What greater mechanism than mass deaths amongst the people? The reference being plagues here, because nothing causes mass deaths like plagues. Meaning, one of the main mechanisms of takhweef is by plagues. And this is something we are seeing over here. Dear Muslims, it is narrated in the famous treatise on plagues by the famous scholar Ibn Abi Dunya, with an isnad to our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, that Anas ibn Malik visited Aisha along with somebody with him behind the curtain. And the other person said, Oh mother of the believers, oh our mother, can you explain to us why these earthquakes are happening? Why these zalazil are happening? And the Arabic zalzala, it means an earthquake, but it can also imply any major calamity. Our mother Aisha said, when the people start committing sins, and when the people consider the major sins to be nothing, and she mentioned some of the sins like zina and like khamr and like other things, she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heavens becomes angry, and He says to the earth, punish them. And so if they repent, the punishment is lifted. And if they do not repent, the punishment continues till it is destroyed. The brother, the person with Anas ibn Malik said, oh mother of the believers, is this a general punishment to all of us? Aisha radiallahu anha said, بَلْ مَوْعِظَةً وَرَحْمَةً لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, it is a means to think and ponder, and it is a means of mercy for the believers. وَنَكَالًا وَعَذَابًا وَسَخَطًا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, and as for those whose hearts have become so hard, they have rejected Allah, for them it will be indeed a punishment and an azab and a member of angerance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this beautiful narration from our mother Aisha, we learn the same message that the Quran and the Sunnah is telling us over and over again. Every single azab that comes down, every single calamity that comes down, it is a reason for us to wake up. It is a reason for us to waken our dead hearts, to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to turn over a new leaf. Dear Muslims, let us remember the beautiful story of Ka'b ibn Malik. A story that I don't have time to tell you all of it, but please read it up and log online. There are many lectures I have given, others have given, about the repentance of Ka'b ibn Malik. And it is so pertinent, because one of the ways that Ka'b was punished is a way that all of us are feeling right now. One of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down a minor punishment of this world to forgive Ka'b, so that Ka'b's place could be raised in Jannah, was social isolation. Read the story. Ka'b ibn Malik committed a sin and he disobeyed Allah and His Messenger, and he had no excuse when the Prophet ﷺ confronted him and said, "Why did you do what you did?" Ka'b lowered his head and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, if I wanted to, I could invent a lie. I could slither my way out in front of you, but Allah would know that it is a lie. I have no excuse. I am a sinner and I have sinned." He admitted and he confessed his sin and he said, "I have no excuse, Ya Rasulullah." And so the Prophet ﷺ said, "You have spoken the truth. Let Allah Azza wa Jal deal with you." And so the command came down. What was the verdict on Ka'b? Everybody should abandon Ka'b. Everybody should ostracize him. Ka'b could not go to anybody's house. Nobody visited Ka'b. Nobody could even say salam to Ka'b. On the 40th day, the message came to him that even your wife and your children must leave you. Ka'b was left literally all alone, literally complete social isolation. And he, as the hadith mentions, he busied himself with dhikr and Quran and salah. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance. And it was only on the 50th day that Allah Azza wa Jal revealed in the Quran, Surah Tawbah, that we recite to this day, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the situation of Ka'b, that this whole world, despite how vast it was, it appeared narrow and constricted. This vast dunya, it appeared like a strange land to them. This is how we are living now. Not as bad as Ka'b, but still Ka'b felt a little bit of what we are feeling. We feel a little bit of what Ka'b is feeling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says that phrase that I want to bring to my attention and your attention. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. And they realized that there is no running away from Allah except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot protect ourselves from Allah except with Allah. We turn to Allah for protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no worldly power that will protect us. No superpower will come between us and the qadr of Allah. No science, no civilization. All of our technology has become useless in light of the smallest creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَظَنُّوا أَلَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ. This is the reality that we need to embody in this verse. We need to recognize nothing will save us except turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to understand there is no power greater than Allah. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيَّ الْعَظِيمِ. This is why this adab has come upon us, because there's a communal state of arrogance and ghafla. Let us turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us rediscover the reality of iman, the sweetness of faith. Let us humble ourselves in this dunya. Perchance Allah may lift His adab in this dunya and especially in the akhirah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran. And may He make us of those who its verses they understand and who apply its halal and haram throughout their lifespans. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor, the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the One, the Unique, the All-Powerful, the Conqueror, the Lord of the Distressed and the Weak. Dear Muslims, I am not a doctor, I am not a scientist. Yet, sometimes we're not listening to what our doctors and scientists are saying. So let me say what every single scientist and specialist is saying. This is not coming from me, but it is coming through me from them. Because sometimes we are not listening to the people of specialities. Dear Muslims, we need to understand why we're being asked to be in social isolation. I need you to understand two phrases that the scientific community is constantly saying. The first of them is flattening the curve. And the second is herd immunity. These are phrases that are a little bit frightening, but with knowledge also comes our strength. You see, dear Muslims, we need to understand there is no cure as of yet to this virus. Now, of course, the good news, we know there is a cure. It's just that we haven't discovered it. We know this because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that never does Allah send a disease except that He sends the cure for that disease. عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. Whoever knows it, whoever doesn't. So Muslim scientists, I encourage you, I urge you, be at the forefront of discovering the cure for this disease. Be of those who demonstrate iman in Allah and iman in the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he promised us there is a cure, we just have to find it. So the good news is there is a cure. The bad news is we don't know it yet. And by the way, even when we discover it, it will take many, many months for the vaccine to be developed and then for the bulk of the 6 billion, 7 billion people on this earth to be immunized. So what is being asked is that we flatten the curve until herd immunity is developed. And the fact of the matter, therefore, and this is bleak news, but just like every major plague, just like the Spanish influenza 100 years ago, there is no cure for the time being, unless Allah wills, except that this virus spreads amongst the entire population, and the population then develops an immunity, those that are able to, and those that don't, that is Allah's qadr in this dunya, and none can come between Allah's qadr and what He has decreed. So the purpose of flattening the curve is very simple. As our scientists are telling us, the fact of the matter is the bulk of every single, especially nations right now that are battling this wave, especially the developed countries, the bulk of people will eventually get the virus. It's going to spread inevitably. The goal is not necessarily to protect yourself from the virus. Yes, 40 maybe percent or less or more will never touch it. May Allah make us amongst them. But the bulk of the population must develop its own immunity. And alhamdulillah, the majority of mankind, this virus will simply pass them by with very minimal symptoms. 80% of the people who are affected by this virus, 80% will simply have fevers, a bit harsh of a nature, some breathing problems, but they'll get by normal medication. And their body, Allah will bless them with that immunity that comes in the natural mechanism that Allah created us. Around 3% or more or less will pass away. There's nothing we can do. Allah's qadr is there. It's that 15 to 17% in the middle. That is where we need to flatten the curve. Why? Because roughly 1 out of 5 people, they're going to be on the verge. 1 out of 5, they're going to be very, very sick. And we as a society need to help them with whatever breathing mechanism, with whatever medication, with whatever we can do to allow their body time so that they can develop an immunity. If we don't give them that time, if they don't have ventilators, if they don't have the equipment that we've been able to discover up until now, to stall them, it is possible that instead of just 3%, much more will die. So the goal is that we are flattening the curve, meaning, as we're all aware, there's always limited beds in hospital, limited medications. Already in this great country of America, we are running out of gloves and masks. Can you believe? And it is still the beginning, and we're running out of essential items like this. What will happen in 3 months or 5 months? Only Allah knows. So the purpose of flattening the curve is to show compassion to that 15% that is going to be on the verge. They need some time. They need ventilators. May Allah protect me and you, dear Muslims. But imagine if your loved one, your father, your son was in that 15%. You go to the hospital and you find all of the hospitals are used up. How would you feel if there's no medical equipment at that time? The goal is simply to flatten out and prolong so that inshallah ta'ala, if we need that extra boost, they have the capacity to do that. So please understand, and this is why from weeks we have been saying, our scholars have been at the forefront of this says those that understand, our Sharia values life. It doesn't tell us to throw our lives recklessly and uselessly. We are working together. That is why we have banned congregations. That is why we are not coming to the masajid except symbolically. That is why in all likelihood, there will be no Taraweeh. There might not even be an Eid in all likelihood. Most likely there will be no Eid going taking place. And all of this is happening because we understand that it is foolish to go recklessly and cause debts for no reason. Insha'Allahu ta'ala, the majority of us will ride through this. It's going to be a difficult time, but we have to cooperate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of our loved ones, for the sake of our communities and societies, and we should not make matters worse by acting in a foolish manner. Dear Muslims, this might well be one of the largest or the most difficult calamities of our generation. We should thank Allah that He has chosen to test us. This means Allah Azza wa Jalla knows we can bear it. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And take consolation in what Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it is possible that even the one who lives through the plague will get the reward of the shaheed even if he survived. If you have the iman of in Allah, the yaqeen in Allah, Ibn Hajar said, even if you survive, then insha'Allah ta'ala, you will get the ajr of the shaheed, and that is our goal. Allah has gifted us the opportunity to get the ajr of the shaheed without even maybe actually dying in this plague. So alhamdulillah, what more do you want? You got the rewards of the shaheed and you got to live in this world. That should be our goal with the right attitude. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with iman and with taqwa. I'm making dua, so say ameen. Oh Allah, we ask of you that you not allow to remain any of our sins except that you have forgiven them. Oh Allah, we ask that you remove all of our worries and disperse them. Oh Allah, we ask that you cure all of our sicknesses and get rid of them. Oh Allah, we ask that you repay all of our debts and eliminate them. Oh Allah, we ask our difficulties that you ease all of them. Oh Allah, we ask that there's no need of ours in this world or the next that you are pleased with and which brings benefit to us except that you have given us them and fulfilled them with your rahmah, ya arhamar rahimin. Oh Allah, we ask that you lift this plague from us and grant us a cure, O Allah. O Allah, lift this plague from us and grant us a cure, O Allah. O Allah, lift this plague from us and grant us a cure, O Allah. O Allah, protect us and our families. O Allah, protect our loved ones and our societies. Allahumma rabban nasi adhib al-basi anta shafi la shifa'a illa shifa'uka shifa'an la yughadiru saqama. O Allah, cause our faith to be strong, O Allah, and do not test us with more than what we can bear. O Allah, if you desire to take our souls, then take them only when you are pleased with them. Oh Allah, bring glory to Islam and its people. Oh Allah, the Ummah, make it blessed and peaceful and protect it from those who desire for it evil with your power, Ya Qawiyu, Ya Aziz. Servants of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you with a matter that He began with Himself, and He followed it up by asking the angels themselves, and then He told us to implement it ourselves. For He said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر. وأقم الصلاة.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال, إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال. أخبر الأيام أنها في وصال, قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال, قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال.